Chevra, first of all, it's an incredible schus to have all the Chevra. It's bittersweet. It's bittersweet that you had to come back. But to have so many of the Chevra that are here from Eretz Yisrael, the Avira, the Ara, to Makadish us all who are stuck here for the time being. Mirtz Hashem, it should be a very short stay for each and every one of you. And full of Hatzlacha. Full of Hatzlacha, where you only bring the Kedush of Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. And don't Chas V'Sholom be makabel any of the Tum of Chutz La'aretz to everything that you've become. And it's very special, and some of you we had the chutzpah to speak a few minutes. Those who have not, I'm looking forward over the next few days. And just know, MS, I'm here for each and every one of you always. And it's chutzpah to learn Torah together. So before we begin, all the Torah tonight, first of all, before even the Torah, this beautiful Kiddush that was sponsored anonymously, I just want to thank those who made this happen for us, that we could have the Gashmias that we're uplifting to Ruchnias, very special people that I'm super close to, that I love like family, and to be a schus for only Simcha and Bracha for them and their beautiful families. Amen. I want to thank as well my Talmud, who's already more of a Talmud Chaver, Yidid Nafshi, someone who I can't explain what nachas I have from Rav Mordechai Bennett and his Eishes Chayil Hadassah, who they're changing the world in Baltimore in very beautiful, incredible ways. And they wanted to sponsor tonight's Torah. First of all, as a Hoydel Hashem Kitov Kilim Chasto, to just thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for all the Simcha and Bracha in their beautiful lives. But also in the Schus that it should be, it will be a successful Pesach for everybody. So Meretz Hashem, it should be, the Bracha should be Chal on each and every one of us. Zehil Gebal Shem Tov, Zechech Tzadik Kodesh Vracha, used to tell over the following mashal. He said, one time, there was a Yid, together with a non-Jew, and they were going collecting tzedakah together. Whatever the predicament exactly was, why, they were friends. They were collecting, they each had different connections. They'd help each other in the Yiddish world, in the non-Jewish world, and people. So it was a partnership. They'd go around collecting, and they'd find places to eat together and stay together. And in a particular makom, Erev Pesach morning, and the Yid said to his friend, "You come with me tonight. We're going to have a feast like you've never seen before. It's going to mamish be incredible." And this individual is very excited, and they go and they get to whoever they were staying, wherever they were going to go for the Seder, for Lel Seder. And they sit down, and it starts off, and they have this big cup of wine. And the friend of the Yid was very excited. Okay, that's a good start. It's nice. It's a nice red wine. But after that, they wash their hands. Okay, I could do this. I could wash my hands. And they bring out some measly little pieces of parsley that they're going to go and dip in salt water. Okay, he does his thing. He follows suit. He figures this is some ritual and it's going to get better. He sees them break some biscuits. And then a very long time of just conversation and language that he doesn't understand. And it's going on and on and on, and his mom is falling asleep, and he's starving. He's starving. But he's waiting, because his friend said it's going to be a big feast. And finally, they come and they wash their hands again. So he remembers the last time he washed their hands, we ate something. It wasn't so exciting. And this time, what does he get to eat? Again, those biscuits that they broke, those like hard... That's what they give him. After all, he's been waiting 2 hours already, and he gets to eat some hard, brittle biscuits. Okay, he still says, I'm gonna hold out. There's got to be something good coming. And then they give around some pieces of lettuce, ground up horseradish, mamish, burning his throat. And then they put it together in a sandwich together with those biscuits. And at that point, he had enough. I can't handle this anymore. Enough is enough. He runs out and leaves. If only he would have stayed a few more minutes. He made it all the way to Kairich. And what's next? Shulchan Aruch. That feast that he was told about, that feast that was going to be mamish, fit for a king. And right before, he couldn't hold out. Hashem Tov explains that one of the deepest lessons of Lel Seder is that no matter what we go through all year long, and we all have our ups and downs, we all have our nisyonos, our challenges. It's all good. It's just a matter of when we finally see it. And there's always going to be that Shulchan Aruch waiting at the end. Those of the Umas HaOlam, those who don't have the understanding and the Emunah and Bitachon, they throw in the towel early. They throw in the towel early before their Zochet to see the Bracha, the Simcha, the Shefa that Hashem's always giving us. But Mamish, we're Mamish days before the Hilgi Yantav of Pesach, to remember that Hashem is always by our side, to remember that Hashem is always taking care of us, to know that even when it seems that it's not going so great, it's going to be great. We just don't see it yet. There's a Shulchan Aruch waiting for us. And we're so excited, each and every one of us, for that night. We're so excited, Amir Tashem, 1 week from Matzei Shabbos Kodesh to again have Lel Seder, that night of Emunah, the night with our families, the night with Kol Pamalya Shomal, as Zohar says. All of the Malachim are there, present, to be together with us, to experience Hashem in our lives, where He's always there, but to know it, so that I can feel Him there always. There's big avodas, big night, big times. I want to talk about a particular avoda of Lel Seder. I saw this Torah this week, and I haven't stopped dancing from it. I haven't stopped dancing. I'm going to dance straight into the Seder with this Torah. It's a yisod that I never had this chus to see before. The beauty of Torah. I have to thank Yedid Nafshi of Dovidel Weinberg. Because only because Rav Dovidel was, did I see this Torah? Because people don't know that my Rebbe Amori is Shlita Pinchas or Pinchas Friedman Shlita. So everybody here learns his Torah, and if you haven't learned his Torah inside, you learn his Torah. Trust me, his Torah has changed the world. And he comes out every year with Svarim, with all the Torahs on the previous year, and he has his Sefer on Purim and his Sefer on Lag BaOmer and his Sefer on Bar Mitzvah. What a schus it is to have such a Rebbe. For some reason, years and years ago, he came out with a small kuntris on Pesach. Yet it's out of print for years already. You can't get it anywhere. Why they haven't republished it? It's too kadosh, I guess, for the world. It's Aragonas. Rav Dovidel, years ago, somehow someone made him a copy, and he made a copy for me. So I have, I don't know how many are left. I don't know what, but I have the Sefer on Pesach. It's about 21 mamarim. It's mamish. Unbelievable. And a couple nights ago, I opened up and I learned through this piece. We're going to share it tonight. You know, Lel Seder, the minog is that those who are married should wear a kittel. And I know we have only a few married men in this room or outside this room. But for all of us, whether we're going to be wearing a kittel or not wearing a kittel, The yisod, the foundation, what we're going to learn from that by looking at our father wearing a kittel, and even for the svardim that might be here, the depth of what it is to wear a kittel is the yisod of Lel Seder that mamish is life altering. Now, first of all, by the way, because I was asked this week by one of the Heilu Chevra whether there's discussed whether Shana Rishona, if you're just married, whether you should wear a kittel. It's a minog tos not to. Ram Shik brings down and others, the reason why it became a minog natu was because Chazal tells us that you're supposed to get married Shmon Esrei L'Chuppah. Now again, we also going around
pictures of this 15-year-old chassid this week, right? Everyone, so I don't know. I don't know if that's true, but I don't believe it's a true. It's a emistic picture. Lemaisa, but Shmon Asrei L'chuppa. You hear me? Shmon Asrei L'chuppa. Oh, till 24. We're not going to talk about that chazal. But Lemaisa Shmon Asrei L'chuppa. I don't know. I missed it by a little. I was engaged in 19. But anyways, Lemaisa Shmon Asrei L'chuppa. So many chassanim. If you back, it used to be Shmon Asrei L'chuppa, and still it is in some worlds. But and by the time they got married, by the first Pesach came around, they were only 19. If you're under 20, which we know brought down, or you're not a bar onesh yet, so to connect to a kittel, a misa is not shaykh, then there's such a minog not to wear kittel. So if you happen to be under 20 and you're married, there is that's a proper minog. But if you're over 20, the minog is to wear a kittel by Seder, by Yom Kippur, by Chasen is obviously. Where does this minhag come from? Why are we wearing a kittel, Lel Seder? And there's a lot of svarim to talk about this, but let's go to the source and in the beginning. In the earlier sources, the Taz, the Magen Avram, and the Taz says, the Tam Levish is a kittel, who shalot tazuach daito alav ibnei asimcha, okay, yilbush beged mesim. That you might have such great joy and simcha lel seder. You're thinking about all that Hashem did for us and does for us. It's such a joyous time. You'll go crazy in simcha, and your mind won't be serious enough, perhaps. So you have to be like brought down to earth a little bit, and wear beged mesim. You have to wear the garment of the dead person, as we know the shroud that a mace is buried in a kittel. Beged mesim. And the Magen Avraham says along those lines, it's to libo nichne, your heart is humbled, beged mesim. Isn't that so strange? I want to be besimcha on Pesach. I want to be besimcha with the Rabbeinu Shalom, knowing he's by my side, knowing he's taking care of me, knowing he's watching over me. Of course, it's true, we have to always understand and be serious on some level in our Avodas Hashem and synthesize our Ava with our Yira, but like, is there a problem being elated in our joy when Hashem's doing miracle after miracle for us, splitting a sea for us? Halavai, we should always be so besimcha with the Rabbeinu Shalom, knowing He's in my life, He's by my side. Every morning He wakes me up in the morning. Mesim, Misa brings Atzvus. Right, there's a famous Gemara. We've spoken about this Gemara many times before. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Hey. It says our whole life is to defeat our Yetzer Hara. We all have a very strong Yetzer Hara if we admit to it. Pulls us in all directions. Chevra that's been in yeshiva has been away and been in an environment of kedusha. You can be back in your own homes in your old environment and. Unfortunately, left and right, the Yetzer Hara is very strong. The world we live in, when it comes to Shemir Sanayim, when it comes to not looking at things that we shouldn't be looking at, has there been a bigger Yetzer Hara for generations? Has there been a bigger Yetzer Hara? Is there a day that goes by that I don't have Talmidim crying to me, being held captive by such a Yetzer Hara, being controlled by such a Yetzer Hara? Holding us back by such a Yetzer Hara. It's very hard. So our whole life I want to defeat the Yetzer Hara. So the Gemara gives me a three-pronged halavai I should be zoche. If not, be osek b'torah. Learn Torah. Torah tavlin. Torah is our antidote. Torah connects us to Hashem. Connects us to be one with Hashem. Gives us the light to not give in to our Yetzer Hara. If that works, great. If not, say Kriya Shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Realize I have Hashem by my side, always He's watching over me. Always. V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levav v'chol nafshecha. I have to love Him with all my heart, with all my soul. If that works, great. If not, the final step is a very intense step. The final step is Yaskir L'Yom HaMisa. Mention your day of death. Yetzer Hara is getting the best of you. Realize, who knows how much longer I have to live. I'm going to have to face Din v'cheshvin. I'm going to have to face. You can bring a chair. You'll make a room over here if you want. Din v'cheshvin. I'm going to have to face Din v'cheshvin. I don't know how much I have to live. I need to accomplish. I need to be close to Hashem. I need to do mitzvahs. I'm going to give in and waste my life with the Yetzer Hara. Yasker Leah Misa is scary to think about that time. To think about how much more I have in this world. So comes the Shvili Pinchas, Rabbi Umairi, and he wants to know, a famous question that many Mepharshim see, if that step works so well, Yasker Leah Misa, thinking about that day of death works so well, why not jump straight to it? Why am I trying these other tactics? Learn Torah. I mean, we have to learn Torah anyways, but why is that the thing that's going to help me? And Shema, just go straight Yasker Leah Misa if it's so good. He says Yasker Leah Misa brings sadness. It works, it helps, but through sadness. Torah, Shema brings simcha. First, we want to try to get close to Hashem and defeat our Yetzer Hara b'simcha, and not need to come to a state of sadness. I don't want to have to stop and appreciate all that I have because I'm laying in a hospital bed and scared for my life. I don't want to wait till that moment. I want to appreciate it now when I'm b'simcha, when things are good. So I want to defeat my Yetzer Hara as well in a state of simcha, not in a state of sadness. So Misa brings sadness. So if Misa brings sadness, why am I putting on a kittel Lel Seder? Which is the big day Mesim, the Taz says. What's going on? What's it all about? I don't want to be sad on Pesach. I want to be happy on Pesach. I came back from Eretz Yisrael to be with my I left Kedusha's Eretz Yisrael so I could be with my family on Pesach because it's such a simchadik time. The mitzvah oiler regel, I was yoyred regel. And we all did. I did the same. I'm not eschataya nimaskar ayom. I did the same when I was learning Eretz Yisrael. The one time in the year I've never been zoche yet to be in Eretz Yisrael is Pesach. There's no everything else. I've been there. That's where I live. That's my home. Pesach, I can't call it my home, sadly. I'm 41 years old. I've never been zoche to eat matzah in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. Never been zoche to bring the Karban Pesach yet. Why we come back? We came back because it's such a time of simcha with our family, right? It's such a time of simcha. So then I'm going to put Big Day Mesim on. I want to be sad. Like, really? Listen to what the Halakha Divrei Shmuel says. Listen to this and never etch this on our hearts. Etch this on our hearts. And I had this list the other day. Hopefully it's going to come out this week. We're going to spread to another special project with Yidid Nafshi Menachem Beznansky. We'll foreshadow a little bit, we'll tease a little bit. You know, we did another podcast. I don't know how much of the Chevron listened to the first one. It was a special, and we did something on Cheres, on freedom. It's very special. It came out, he's an incredible person, he gets it, and it was very special. So one of the things we were talking about, I brought up Al Tikrei Cheres El Cheres, that the Luchos, we don't read it as they were Cheres etched, but Torah brings freedom. So he asked me during this podcast, like, why, what's the connection between Cheres and Cheres? I'm not going to get into the whole talk now, and that's not the time. Hopefully the Chevron will be able to listen, but Cheres means it's etched. And we have to be etched. What I said was we have to be etched on our heart. When it's etched, it becomes one. See, when you write with a pen on paper, so those are still two separate entities. You could use white. You could erase it somehow. You could erase it with an eraser. But when it's etched, it becomes part and parcel. It becomes one object. The Torah, which is Cheres, brings us freedom in this world, free of all the distractions of the world, all that holds us prisoner in this world. The Torah, which is Cheres, has to be Cheres, has to be one with us. So the Torah I'm about to share, which is not my Torah, is the Torah of the Halakha Divrei Shmuel of Shmelkov Nicholsburg, Zecha Tzadik HaShvracha. Tzadik Yisoid Oilam. This Torah has to be etched in our hearts. Take this with us to our Lel Seder. Share it with every member of our family. Of what it is that we wear a kittel Lel Seder. Listen, Chevra. Listen to what he says. A kittel's beged mesim. You know why? Because we're supposed, listen to how he says it, it's very simple, very deep. We're supposed to feel Lel Seder as if we were mace, our life was taken from us. That's why I'm wearing a kittel. I'm a mace. But then Hashem gave us a gift and brought us back to life. I'm not. I'm lemaisa. I'm alive. I'm wearing a kittel, but I'm sitting at my table. I'm not wearing kittel 6 feet under. So we're supposed to feel the ideas, the mentality, that I'm mamish, as if I died and was brought back to life. Tchis meisim. Do you understand what level of simcha then that beg and mason brings? Is there a greater simcha one could imagine? What's the greatest simcha? The greatest simcha is a contrast from atrum, from sadness. And you're in the lowest of places, and you're brought to the highest of places. You were mason, you're brought to chai. Imagine the simcha. It's to elevate our simcha, to recognize that, and that's what Klal Yisrael went through. You see, Klal Yisrael was mamish, almost mace. Klal Yisrael was on the 49th level of Tumah. Physically, they were slaves being tortured by the Mitzrim. Spiritually, they were on the lowest of levels. And they were taken out. Physically and spiritually and emotionally. And we as well, we sit at Lel Seder, and it doesn't matter what happened this past year, and especially this past year. This past year was a year of Gehenim for many, many people. It was a difficult year. It was a year of challenges. A year of trials and tribulations. Bemes. People lost loved ones. People lost much money. People went through difficulties being alone. A year ago, Pesach, many people had their own Seder all alone. Grandparents who don't even have their spouse had to have a Seder all alone a year ago. Over this year, we can't imagine. We're brought back. We're brought back to life. Like the Yidden, we're in Mitzrayim. And we have to imagine Lel Seder as if that's what we've gone through. Chayiv Adam Lir Tzatzvakilu Hu Yotam in Mitzrayim. I went out. I'm back alive. Doesn't matter where I was, where I've been. And we've all been places. Let's be real. We've all been places, whether it's this year or previous years. There was Misa, spiritual Misa, physical Misa. I'm alive, I'm here. I'll prove it. We wouldn't be together, all this Chevra, 11:30 at night on a Thursday night, sitting and learning Torah together. Get him from Eretz Yisrael, from Chutz L'Arts, it's beautiful. Because I'm alive. And when I look at that kittel and I wear that kittel, it's like, Kiilu, I was dead and brought back to life. And you know what that charges with me with? It charges me with the greatest responsibility and the chizik to make the most of every moment of my life. Because if I tasted death and I'm brought back to life, there's no greater appreciation for life. We take our life for granted, let's be real. We take our moments for granted. How much did we accomplish today? Did we make the most of today? Think about my day today. Shkoyach, I made to Minyan. A year ago, maybe I wasn't. I made it to Minyan. I learned a little bit. I'm proud of myself. But did I utilize how much of every moment? Did I look at every moment as if I was brought back to life? You know, you appreciate life if I was brought back to life? Imagine the scenario. Imagine the situation. I'm up there and it's over. No more ability to grow. No more ability to produce. No more time with my family, with my children, with my friends, with my wife, with my... No more over. And what I'm thinking, imagine what you'd be thinking. I wish I had one more day with my wife, one more day with this friend, one more day with my mother, with my father. I wish I showed the proper akar tov that I never showed. I wish I took my learning seriously. If what I could do to have one more seder limud, one more day to daven with kavana, what I would do. Right? How would we think? Recently, Disney came out with a movie, Soul. Can you look at this a little bit? Feel this, I don't know, I'm even Yavin, you don't have to know, don't worry. But what that mindset, imagine what that would be if we did. That's what we're going through. That's what we're going through. Mamish, we're all going through this. As an inspiration of Lel Seder where I'm supposed to feel that I was brought back to life. Because that's what happened in Mitzrayim. That's what Geula was. I'm brought back to life. And we go through it every year. We relive it. We don't just appreciate the past. We relive it. And I'm being brought, and imagine the appreciation for every moment. And I'm going to utilize every moment in tefillah, in Torah. There's a story, I've shared this with some of the Chevron knows the story well. I've shared. Some of the Chevron probably heard this from me already 3 times. Some of the Chevron maybe never did. But it's one of my favorite stories in the world. It's a very simple story.
But it's a story I think about almost every day. And if I don't think about it that day, it's a problem because I probably don't make the most of that day. So it was an individual who was one of my rebbes. I have a lot of rebbes in this world. Rabbi Pinchas is a rebbe, Rabbi Amori, Rabbi Blachman is a rebbe, Rabbi Finkel, Zeichel Tzadik Hashbracha, the rebbe, the Astrum Kal Shimmer rebbe, Rav Matal Vada, Rav Matal Shlita, what is Chus, Rav Yitzhak Cohen Shlita, Rabbi Kamenetsky, Rabbi Neuberger, Rabbi Simon, big people. But then I have other rebbes. Chever knows I have other rebbes. I'm the Rebbe NF. No, my playlist, Taget, that's what I made. That playlist is called the Rebbe NF. It says, you can look at my phone, the Rebbe NF. I don't know if everyone's holding an NF, but big tires. Very big tires. I'm not saying he does it with like as a, I wouldn't put him on par with a Kedushas Levi, but I'm saying, but big tires. But another Rebbe of mine, who I learned a lot from and I grew a lot from, was a man by the name of Randy Pausch. Randy Pausch was a professor in a college in California. And he was diagnosed with a very, very serious form of cancer. Told he had about 4 months to live. He had a few very young children. Can't imagine. Late stage, terrible diagnosis. And he happened to be chosen that year to give a lecture in his college. Every year, one professor was asked to give a lecture to the entire college. And he decided to use it as a goodbye speech in a certain sense and leave his lasting legacy and advice for his children. It's an incredible lecture. You could go online on YouTube and listen to it and watch it. And afterwards, it was made into a book with additions. It's very kedai to get, to read. I think about a lot of parts of it constantly in my life. One particular story I've shared many times, but literally I think about all the time. And he once walked into a supermarket to buy. This is after he was diagnosed. He's thinking he has chves, there's 2 months to live. He ended up living much longer than the doctors thought. But I think he lived about a year and a half after and unfortunately then passed away. And he went and he had to buy a few objects from the supermarket, and he bought the few objects, and he went, and instead of going to the normal grocery line, he went at a self-checkout line. You know, like the local Stop and Shop, Lowe's, and he went to the self-checkout line, and he scans the items, and when he finished scanning the items, it's like, $18.63, nothing major. He puts his credit card in, nothing happens, so he put his credit card in a second time. And then two receipts come out. And he realized he paid twice. So what's he going to do now? So he knows he could go find one of the workers in the supermarket. And of course, he'd eventually get his money back. He has the items, he has two bills exactly. It's obviously clearly a mistake. But he thought to himself, you know how it works. There's a bureaucracy and that person wouldn't be able to give him the money. They'd have to find a manager, and that manager would have to find a manager, and it would probably take a good 20 minutes until he gets his money back. So he thought to himself, I'd much rather have 20 minutes of life, 20 minutes with my children, 20 minutes to enjoy, than an extra $18.63 in my pocket. And he walked out, happy to have those 20 extra minutes. Only one who has that cheshbon, that calculation, that understanding, that perspective. Then in a certain sense, obviously it's a little different. He didn't come back from the death, but he was facing death. And when you're facing death, it's the same idea. You're able to appreciate life.
in a different sense, and have a simcha of every moment of life. And we as well, Lel Seder, it's Tchiyat HaMeisim. Oz Yashir, B'Tchiyat HaMeisim. We have to feel this and live. You know, there was a song once upon a time. You gotta live like you're dying. You gotta live like you're dying. I don't know, it calculates like days and numbers if you're, right? What is it? What is it? What is it?
86,400 seconds.
86,400 seconds in a day, right?
Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. But you gotta live like you're dying. What does it mean, live like you're dying? Is this idea? I have to live as if I've come back to life so that I can appreciate every single moment that Hashem gifts me with. And it's a different Simchas HaChaim. Lel Seder, we take the Mara. You know, I was thinking about it. Isn't it strange? You ever think about this? My mom just thought about this tonight for the first time. We go through the Seder, and yes, there's a concept of Maschel B'Gnosu Messiah B'Shvach, and to start out with the difficulties and the slavery and get to the rejoicing with the Geula, because you could only appreciate the redemption if you understood and understand what the servitude was. But we already did that in Maggid. If we're going to eat Maror, shouldn't it have been much earlier in the Seder? You ever think about that? I never thought about this till this year. Mamish, you know, it's amazing. I don't know why, because I'm laughing, but you ever think about it? Like, why do we eat Maror then? We already got to the... We spoke about... why are we eating Maror then? We already sang some of Hallel. You know, like, now Maror? Like, what is that? What is that all about? It's a little bit strange, no? You ever think about it? Like, not only that, we add the matzah already. Okay, the matzah has an interesting synthesis of avdus and chayrus in one, but the matzah definitely represents geula as we left Mitzrayim. We all know it, right? We had moti matzah, maror. Like, now, why are we going back to maror? Because maybe, just a side idea that I thought about tonight was, what do we do with the maror? We dip it in the charoisis, and then we have a koirich. And at the point of Geula, we realize we might have trials and tribulations again. We might have our ups and downs. But now we can appreciate Hashem's with us even in the hardships. So I'm going to take the Mara and dip it into the Charoises and say, even this is somehow sweet. I can only recognize that after the fact in a certain sense. So I want to go back to the Mara and appreciate the Mara as well once I've lived through the Geula. But I want to share something deeper tonight. From the Halakha Arizal. The Maror is Gematria 446. What is 446? It's Gematria Maves. It's death. And what does Arizal say we do with the Maror? Listen to this, you have to follow this. We drop it in the Charoises. We dip it in the Charoises. So we take the Maves, that which is death, which is bitter, and we dip it in the Charoses. Charoses has a Ches and a Samach, and Rus. Ches and a Samach is 68, which is Gematria Chaim. Rus, one way of looking at it, Rus was, we know, a Giyores, which is someone, Ki'ilu, that comes from Misa L'Chaim. But Rus is also Gematria 606, which is the Miloy of Adnas. Without the Pasha letters, without the Aleph, Dal, Nun, Yud, all the hidden letters, right? The Chevron knows Miloy. Like Aleph is Aleph, Lamed, Pei, and Dal is Dal, Lamed, Tuf, and Nun is Nun, Vav, Nun, and Yud is Yud, Vav, Dal. So all the letters you don't see when you enunciate the word is the Miloy. If you add up all the letters you don't see, it's 606, exactly Gematria of Rus. Adnus is the master of the world. The master of the world is someone that could accomplish Tchias HaMeisim. So I take the Maror, listen, Chevron, I take the death of my life, and I dip it into Charoses, which is Chas, which is Chaim, through who? Through the Adnas. I appreciate that even if it feels like I've hit a moment of death, I could come back alive. Because I have the Rabbeinu Shalom who's following me. I have the Rabbeinu Shalom who's watching me. The Rabbeinu Shalom who's with me. And that's the revelation of Lel Seder. That's the kittel of Lel Seder. That's how some of us feel right now. I look around the room, and the amazing nachas of so many of you who are chayim again. Maybe not even again. Maybe you never were before. MS, let's be real. You got to be real. Don't be real. Some could admit and raise their hands. I've never been alive till a few months ago. You know, suddenly now I'm alive.
Yes.
Love you. But there's an MS to it. But each and every one of us in our own lives, even once we had a chiyus, there's still going to be roller coasters. There's still Yetzirah. And I look at the Kittel Leil Seder and I know that it's a reminder that it's Kilo, I died and I came back to life. And what appreciation that is. What excitement that is. What simcha that is. And we all could live that. And what an opportunity it is. You know, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf, Nun Beis, on the bottom, says like this. When a person dies, there's a scary idea. This is a Gemara. This is not like deep Kabbalah. Kol Yud Beis Chodesh. All 12 months after a person dies, Gufo Kayam, the body is still, I don't want to say alive, it doesn't say Chay, but Kayam, it's still fully there, fully ready to go. Vinishmaso Ola V'yorid. The soul is constantly going up and down. La'achar Yud Beis Chodesh, a Guf Batal, Vinishmaso Ola V'shuv Eina Yoredes. After that, the Guf basically is nullified and the soul stays up in heaven. These ideas, at certain times it comes back by the Yahrzeit and other times, but ultimately it no longer is coming back down. It realizes it can't be here anymore. But that soul that al korchach atanolad va korchach atanatzarta, that soul that didn't want to come into this world, that soul that was up with God, tachas kisei hakavod, once it appreciates this world and sees all we could do in this world, that you can't do in that upper realm. All that we could do, all the time we have with our family, all the Torah we could learn, all the tefillahs we could daven, all the mitzvahs we could perform, all the chesed we can do, only in this world. It wants to constantly come back to this world. When it's up there! It's in the Olam HaMes. No, I want to be here. And the Vilna Gaon's crying with its tzitzis. I wish I have another day of tzitzis. And a person, because it's summer and it's hot, can even chesben not wearing tzitzis. What a schus! What a schus I have that I could learn Torah. I have time to learn Torah. I have time now to daven. I could daven. I'm not pressured with time. I could daven as long as I want. I don't have to run anywhere. So daven along Shemone Esrei. What a schus! When am I going to have this time again? I'm alive! That soul we all one up it. What is chus? You know, in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah says, "Yafa sha'achas shel koras ruach ba'olam haba mikol chayei olam hazeh." One moment of just smelling the olam haba is greater than this whole world. I don't want to even go into how the Michta Eliyahu explains that. Go read the beginning of Michta Eliyahu, you'll be blown away. For the sake of time, we're not going to go there right now. But imagine just smelling Olam Haba, that benefit is greater than all the physical pleasures we could have in this world in all of history. Yet the Mishnah begins, Yafa sha'achas b'tshuva masim tovim b'olam hazeh mikol chayei olam haba. Imagine, but one moment of tshuva and doing good deeds in this world is greater than all of the next world. And we have that opportunity now. And we're alive. And I'll say that we have to feel as if we've been gifted with life again. That incredible hakara that Hashem, which He does really to us every night. He takes us and He gives us back. Shechazar to be nishmasi. What a schus that is. What an opportunity that is. You know, the Shlah, the Zera Kodesh, the Tver Shleima, they say that the Matzah and the Yayin of Leil Seder is Tikkun of Chayit Eit Hadas. What then the Eit Hadas? Some say it was Geffen, was grape, some say it was wheat. So the Matzah is connected that, the wheat, and the wine is connected, and we're being Metakin Eit Hadas. I'm not going to get into deeper Kabbalah in that. But you know what happened by Eit Hadas? The Pasuk says, by Eit Hadas, when we ate from the Eit Hadas, the Pasuk in Perek Beis, Pasuk Yizayin, Meitadas tovera lo sochel mimenu. Shouldn't eat from the Eitadas. Ki biyom achalcha mimenu. What happens the day you eat from the Eitadas, Adam Arishon? Most you must. Most tumas. Most tumus. Bring death. So Leil Seder, I'm attacking Eitadas because I'm alive again. No more death.
I take the maves of Mara and dip it into charoses. Chas chayim. With the oddness of Rus. I look at that kid till I'm alive again. And imagine how you feel when you face death and you're alive again. That's how we should feel Pesach night. And that's how we should feel every day. Every morning I wake up. Shechazarta b'nishmasi. I have to make the most of today. What is chus that just I have life? That I'm alive. What is chus? We appreciate that. Let's appreciate it. And that's the yisod of the kittel. And that's the yisod of Pesach. Liris kiilu yotzim in Mitzrayim. Every one of us. Just want to end by reading a story. I'm going to read the story because I don't think I'd be able to do justice by telling this story. I've shared this story once before for sure, but when I was preparing this Torah, the story kept on screaming into my heart. And I think it's everything we're talking about. It's a little bit of a different type of kittel. It's a much holier kittel. But it's the same yesod of our kittel. Ariel, don't worry if you don't wear a kittel. The yesod is there. You're home for Pesach? So walk over in the middle of the Seder for a moment. You'll see my kittel.
Brother-in-law.
Okay. Oh, your brother-in-law's coming. So you have a kittel, you say there. See, Abishta brings you a kittel. Baruch Hashem. Henry Borenstein knocked lightly on Rabbi Nelkin's office door and waited to be admitted into the rabbi's private room. The door opened, and Henry was greeted cheerfully by his good friend. What can I do for you this morning, Henry? Henry was a no-nonsense type of guy. Advanced in his age, he had been a member of his shul for close to 50 years. Although the rabbi was young enough to be his son, Henry respected him. He had come to ask for a favor. Rabbi, I'm here to tell you that I'm going to die. We're all going to die sooner or later, Rabbi Nelkin joked in an attempt to lighten up the conversation. I mean it, Rabbi Nelkin. I'm not fooling around. Henry's serious tone indicated this was a serious discussion. Have you been to the doctor lately? What makes you think you're going to die, Henry? You look perfectly fine to me. Rabbi Nelkin tried his best to calm Henry's nerves. What can I say? I just know it won't be long now. And I have a request. I don't want to be buried in Tachrichim. Tachrichim are burial shrouds. Normal garbs of a mace. Kittel. The request surprised Rabbi Nelkin. A proper Jewish burial is something even the non-religious Jews took seriously. What could Henry's reason possibly be? Instead, I want you to bury me in the prisoner clothing I wore in the concentration camps. After I pass away, I'll come before the Almighty. He'll ask me how come I didn't keep Shabbos and Tefillin and Kosher for over 3 years of my life during the war. I'll be able to respond, God, look at what I'm wearing. I went through the horrors of Auschwitz and I still raised an observant family. Renelkin stared at Henry in disbelief, but then he assured Henry that when the time came, he would address the matter, fearing they had plenty of time before Henry passed on. However, that wasn't the case. 3 weeks later, Henry died suddenly. He went to sleep one night and never woke up. Immediately, Henry's son began to make the necessary arrangements for the funeral. The Chevra Kedisha was called and preparations for the Tahara began. They asked the family for Henry Tachrichin, Talas, and Kittel. His children gave them what they asked for, but mentioned to those who would be doing the Tahara, they should wait until the family met with Rabbi Nelkin. Rabbi, we are aware of our father's unusual request regarding his burial shrouds. However, we ask you not to bury him in this prison uniform. In all of Rav Nelkin's years in the rabbinate, this issue was definitely one of his most unusual ones. He thought for a moment and responded to Henry's sons, why should we not bury him in the prisoner's uniform? That was his final request from me. I told him that I would consider it, but I really have not delved into the halachic side of the matter. Still, I can't imagine why he would be opposed to it. Moshe, Henry's eldest son, stepped forward and spoke on behalf of his brother. My dear Rabbi, allow me to explain the family's hesitation. Each year we've been gathering together as a family for the Pesach Seder. Thank God there are already 4 generations of my father's descendants. You may wonder why we've been going through the trouble of getting together when it would have been more manageable for us to have separate Siddurim. The answer is that every year, after all the children asked the Manishtana, my father would leave the table. With all his grandchildren watching his every move, he would walk deliberately to the closet. Take out a hanger, remove the plastic from it, and then hang it from the chandelier. As the children stared at their grandfather's prisoner uniform, my father would announce in a loud and clear voice, Kinderlach, Avadim ayinu lehidler b'Germania,
Children, we were slaves to Hitler in Germany. He tortured and killed millions of our brothers. And some thought we would never escape the nightmare. But Hashem misham. Hashem took us out of there. And He allowed us to rebuild our lives. It is to Him that I owe my thanks for all of you. Rabbi, it's that cry of faith that left an indelible impression on each of us. We don't want to relinquish this family heirloom. Rabbi Nelkin held on to Moshe as he cried for his father and his children's grandfather. The new understanding of the importance of these hallowed garments, the Chevra Kedisha buried Henry in the traditional burial shrouds, but they placed the precious uniform inside the Aron as well. His last request would thus be honored, but the memory of that uniform would remain etched in the minds of his children and grandchildren for years to come. We don't have that. We don't have that physical embodiment to see Tchiyas HaMeisim, to see somebody who was in Gehenna, and came back to life and rebuilt family of Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs. Although some of our families maybe have similar stories. So we may not have that vision, but we have the vision of our kittel. Our kittel and our Leil Seder is the same message. Our kittel of Leil Seder is that message that I'm a Yid and I might have been in places of Misa, and we as a nation have been places of Misa, but I've been brought back to life. And I have to have that sense of appreciation, that sense of Akar Satov, that sense of Simcha, of Eretzienu Misham, to charge me with the achrayus, to not just walk into Leil Seder and feel this, but to walk away from Leil Seder, with wearing that kittel on our hearts and on our minds all year. Wearing that kittel and knowing that I'm alive and that I appreciate everything that Hashem is giving me and doing for me every moment. And therefore my avodah is to make the most of it in every way that I can. And with that will be zoicha to throw away all our kittels. We won't need the kittel to remind us of any type of misa. We'll be zoicha to the ultimate b'chiyas ha-meisim with the gula shleima, Mashiach l'keinu, b'mheira b'yamim. Amen.